This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 438 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com, and joining me via Skype from Melbourne, Victoria, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
So you have to speak up.
Why?
I've got a sore back.
Right. And?
Well, I can't hear you over all my moaning and groaning and bleating.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. Why have you got a sore back?
I herniated a disc in my spine.
Oi, oi, oi. It's all like gold prospecting. That'll do it.
It was exactly what it was. I was bent over panning and...
Oh. Well, that doesn't sound like fun.
Well, I'd driven for an hour and a half. Yeah. I got out of the car, loaded up all my stuff, walked across a river, which was flowing because it's been raining and snowing and all sorts of stuff down here. Right. Walked 15 minutes down over these, through dodging mine shafts and through bush and spiky stuff and all the way down to the spot that I wanted to get to. Yeah. Got there, put my gear down, got my pan, put my first shovel of stuff in, went, oh! Pretty much to empty the pan, put it all back in, walked 15 minutes, much slower this time. And I've been on my back since for the last 4 days.
Oy, oy, oy. That's no good.
Yeah, lots of pain, but other than that, you know, I not complain. You know, right. It hurts a lot, and you know, there's nothing worse. Than, but I don't complain.
Yeah, no, that's good, mate. That's good.
No, so it's pretty painful. But what are you going to do, eh?
Exactly.
So somewhere in the next 4 to 6 weeks, I should be mobile again. And
Jeez, that's a bit rough.
Yeah. I mean, I can walk, but it's like I feel like I'm twisted. So like my hips are pointing one way and my shoulders are pointing the opposite way.
Whoa! Wow!
So I'm like completely twisted.
Yikes!
And I can't stand straight. I mean, like, I can stand straight up, but I'm not straight. Like my body's two different directions.
Wow! And so, what do you do? Is it physio to correct it, or
a bit of chiropractor, a bit of bleating, moaning, whinging?
Right. Excellent.
Lots of laying them down with your legs elevated, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right.
Trying to exercise and, you know, walk and stuff and as much as you can. So
yeah, right. Jeez, that's no good.
All for the fair.
Yeah.
So how's your week been?
Mate, just working.
You've been working for the local office or the distant office?
Yeah, so the plan was 1 day Newcastle, 2 days Gosford. I went up to Newcastle on Monday, and then when I packed up all my gear in the evening to come home, I left the mouse for my laptop in the studio. So Tuesday morning, I thought I was going to be working from Gosford and realised, oh, I left my mouse behind. So I flicked my boss an email and said, look, I've got to come up to Newcastle, so I'll work out of Newcastle today and I'll see you at 11 o'clock. But Thursday, which was yesterday, I was working out of the Gosford studio, which is great. So, yeah, nice short commute.
Okay. The one damn little piece, you know?
Yeah.
It's exactly. Like when you get all the way to a shoot and you forgot your battery or your memory card.
It was almost a case of, do I just go to JB Hi-Fi and buy a new mouse? Well,
I would have been tempted. And there's no way of doing the job without a mouse?
Well, yeah, you've got a trackpad on the laptop, but it's for the type of work I do in an audio editing environment, you generally need to be using multiple keystrokes and your mouse simultaneously, and trying to do that with a trackpad is really cumbersome. It can be done, but it's not really very convenient. So, in all hindsight, I probably should have just gone and spent $20 on a new mouse.
Yeah, that's what I would have been doing.
But anyway, it's all good.
Oh, well, all fun and games.
Exactly.
So last week we talked about your photo shoot.
Yeah.
And we talked about the green versus the colour touch. And then I fixed your photo.
Yeah.
What did you think?
It certainly gave a more consistent colour palette to the image as a whole. I didn't feel like it looked like any plant that I'd ever seen on planet Earth.
That's not my fault you put it in the photo. I work with what I got.
But it certainly did the job. And, yes, in terms of colour palate consistency, it certainly did the job.
But what about where your eye goes, which is possibly more important than colour palette consistency?
Yeah, I guess it helped to draw your eye to Tegan. But then I personally didn't feel like the green plant was drawing my eye away from Tegan anyway. But that's
this is where you're going wrong all the time. Look, you just
well, it's subjective. Everyone has a different.
No, it's not subjective.
It is.
Not subjective, Bruce. It's you do what I say, Bruce. Pretty darn simple when you think about it, you know?
Of course it is.
Pretty darn simple. I'm right, you're wrong. Simple. End of scenario, basically. All you need to say is, what did you think about the oh, yes, Glenn, you were right. That's all you had to say. We would have been moved on by now.
Okay.
I don't need you to tell me I was right because I know. I had a slight argument online with a guy this morning about stuff, and it's like, don't you know I'm right? I am. Arguing me about lenses and how to use. Some guy asked a question about lenses. He's only got two lenses, a 24mm 1.8 Sigma
right.
And a 17-50 Tamron, and he's going on vacation. Which lens should he take?
Oh, you're kidding.
No, I know. So it's pretty darn simple. Yeah, pretty darn simple solution is yeah, you take the zoom, and this is why.
Yeah.
And this guy comes back, oh, no, you know, yeah, were you sacrificing this for that? And yeah, the quality, is it all bad? Maybe you should just go and buy another lens. I said, but the guy's not asking if he wants to buy another. He said, I've got these two lenses.
Yes.
Which of these two should I take? Not which of these two, or should I go buy something else?
Yeah, exactly.
Like these two. So it's like, and he was basically arguing my own point back at me. And I'm going, well, let's agree to agree, shall we?
Yeah.
Yeah. People should know, as soon as I comment, that should be it. Okay, Glenn's spoken.
Nothing more needs to be said.
Yeah, the world would be a bloody better place for me.
Yes, it would.
Don't make me laugh, it hurts my back.
Oh, dear.
So what are we going to talk about this week? Anything exciting?
Well, Adam sent us a few stories, and I've got a couple of things, and you've got a couple of things. So why don't you lead off?
What I'm talking about. Mind you, I don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm right. Just to clarify, in case there was any confusion.
Okay.
I had an idea for an app.
Oh, yeah?
You're a photographer, right? Not you, obviously, but you're a photographer, and you do stock photography.
Yeah.
Okay. And part of that stock photography can be locations or products or who knows, whatever. Yeah, all the stuff you do for a lot of stuff. But imagine if you had an app that that knew where your location was at any time, and whenever you were in a zone where someone had called for, I need a photo of this building or of this street sign or of whatever it may be,
mm-hmm.
your app pings you when you're in that area. We need six photos of this, this, and this,
yeah,
and then right. you go and take it, submit it.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty smart, wouldn't it, I thought?
Yeah.
It'd be kind of a clever idea.
Do stock libraries have that kind of option where people can say, I need XYZ?
There are ones out there that put out calls for submissions and stuff.
Right.
Or we need, yeah, so there certainly is, but you could, yeah, integrate that, your own app into that concept. As simple as someone comes and says, I need six images of street signs in Melbourne, Victoria.
Yep.
Boom, 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 and then you know, your location says, oh, they're in this person. These six photographers are in Melbourne, Victoria. Bing.
Yeah.
You tag yourself arriving at the Opera House.
Yeah, right.
And then, bing, I need three photos of from this angle or whatever it may be.
Yeah, or close-ups of the tiles or something.
Yeah, yeah. Just some obscure thing that that may not be out there already on stock libraries, and you can call for something very specific.
Yeah, right.
I thought it was kind of a good idea.
Yeah.
So if there's any app person out there, I'll take half of all the profits. That'll do me.
Excellent.
Okay, my first thing I want to talk about is goes in the why wasn't it invented earlier file.
Oh, okay.
So it's a lens filter adapter.
Lens
that swings up.
Filter adapter. Okay. Yeah, right.
So, yeah, you're shooting, 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 And then you don't want to be shooting for a second, so you flip it up.
Yeah, right. So basically it's a hinged contraption that obviously screws into the filter thread on the front of the lens.
It's got a thread on the other side, so you just screw your normal filters on.
Yeah, and then when you don't want them, you just flip them up.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
How simple as that? Because all that time unscrewing, you might want to just take it off for one or two shots and put it back on again.
The thing that I immediately think of is when you're trying to do long-time exposure stuff with a 10-stop filter and you can't use your AF, your autofocus, when the 10-stop filter is on because it's blocking so much light that the autofocus can't work. Being able to have this contraption would mean, you know, flip it up, set your focus with your auto, you know, your autofocus with a normal quantity of light coming through the front element of the lens, switch to manual focus, flip the filter down, and off you go for your, you know, 5-minute exposure or whatever it is. That is perfect. Awesome.
Why the hell did no one ever think of that earlier?
Yeah.
I mean, we've had hinged lids for quite a while now. But that doesn't mean that's it. And as I said, I hadn't thought of the actual, you know, I hadn't sat there and go, oh, when would be the best times to use this? But that's a classic example with these 10-stop filters or whatever. Yeah. Absolutely perfect example. So, brilliant. Really smart little idea.
Nice.
So that's I'm not sure if that's actually out and about yet on the market yet. Or
it's called Alta RFS, Rapid Filter System. It's on Kickstarter. So I will try and find the Kickstarter link. What Glenn has sent me is the Petapixel link to the story, but we'll try and find the there it is. There's a link to the Kickstarter campaign in that article. So, that is great.
Yeah, I like it.
Nice.
Because, I mean, I use filters so much that this would just come in really handy, you know?
You do?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
Sarcasm. I know I don't use it very often, but it's a device in my language I like to use from time to time.
Yeah.
Sarcasm.
Right.
Every now and then. They got made from 40 mil to 105 mil filter sizes.
Yeah, awesome.
Very sweet.
Very good.
Yeah, I like it. I thought it was one of those just simply cool ideas.
Yeah.
Works.
Yeah.
I see from Canon rumours that it looks like Canon is discontinuing the 7D range.
Right.
Which is like, probably their most popular camera before going to a pro, especially for sports and birding.
Sort of the top end of the amateur market.
End of the amateur.
Yeah.
But really popular for sports and bird photographers because it gives the crop factor.
Oh, okay.
It also gives, it's like 8 frames a second shooting or something like that. So it's very popular for sports and things. But it's Gonski by the looks of it.
Right.
Yeah.
The first of the 7D series appear on the market? Ballpark.
I'm going to have to say 10 years ago,
right?
Maybe?
So, I mean, that's, you know, in digital photography, that is an absolute eon.
Oh, yeah, but no, but remember, they get all they do is 7D Mark 1, Mark 2, Mark 3, Mark 4, Mark 5, so on. It's not like, 10 years. Yeah, so they've only had two versions of that 10 years, mind you.
Well, that's pretty good.
But but what they're saying is there's never going to be a 7D Mark 3.
Yeah.
They're going to be going in preference of the mirrorless stuff.
Yeah, right.
The R's. And it looks like they may also be discontinuing their EOS 5D or 5DSs or 5DRs, whatever their sort of more obscure 5D cameras are going as well and no replacement. So that's what we expected was going to happen. They're going to start nutting down the amount of cameras they have in their range and discontinuing a bunch of stuff.
Well, I guess that eases them up in terms of having to stock spare parts for, you know, cameras that they're not getting a lot of call for, you know. So I guess it frees up inventory in that respect.
Some customers are going to be pretty darn peeved.
Of course.
Because, I mean, once again, the build quality of a 7D is far better than their amateur cameras.
Yeah.
As well. So, realistically, if you want now something that shoots 8 or 10 frames a second, you're now up to a $6,000 body.
Yeah, right.
Which is a fair jump. I haven't looked at the mirrorless specs. There might be a mirrorless one there that's shooting those sort of frame rates too, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you remember a year or so ago when that guy had his camera stolen by monkeys
and the
monkeys took photos? Well, here's another, it's a similar thing.
Okay.
This is a monk taking photos as opposed to monkeys.
Oh, okay. Right.
very similar. But there's this Romanian monk.
Yeah.
He's Romanian. Taking photographs of his people he works with.
Right.
The other monkeys. And he's got some cool shots. He's got, because he's got access, of course, to people and subjects and locations that we wouldn't normally have.
Yep.
And some of his shots are pretty darn cool. His lighting's pretty interesting, and his subject matter is certainly very cool.
Yeah.
But it's a perspective of someone with a different mindset than us, normal. More photographer types,
He's living that lifestyle every day.
Exactly. So I mean, whatever makes him live that lifestyle, it implies a certain mindset, which is a different viewpoint to everything else. So he's a Eastern Orthodox monastery on Mount Athos in Greece. There you are.
Yeah, right.
But I love some of it, especially the last one. There's one at the end there with a guy looks like Santa's beard. It's a very cool shot. The lighting's beautiful on it. Yeah. I darkened down the beard just a tiny bit, and I darkened that little wood door frame or whatever. The shots. But the one I like the most is the group shot where they're all praying or singing over books, and this guy's holding. I mean, other than the glasses, because a couple of guys there wearing glasses, that could be any time in history.
Yes,
it's a pretty cool looking shot, and if you look at some of the classical paintings, and you can see the lighting is the same as the light they would have had in those days. The looks, the beards, the outfits they're wearing.
Yeah,
that's it. Other than the glasses, it's a pretty cool
and the fact that it's all candle lit.
Exactly. Yeah. So you can see how that. Yeah, those sort of classical paintings have that look to them because it's there in that light.
Yeah.
Very cool. So I thought that was interesting because it's a perspective on photos.
Yeah.
Oh, did I have anything else? Mona Frigging Lisa I've got there.
Right.
Mona Frigging Lisa. This is all about few-shot adversarial learning of realistic neural talking head models.
Yes. Yeah, this is amazing stuff.
Have you seen the Mona Lisa one?
Yeah.
So scroll down to the bottom. There's the Mona Lisa talking and moving her head. That's kind of darn freaky.
Yeah, I watched the video of this last week just after we'd recorded, and Adam actually sent this through on his list as well.
Yeah, but I didn't bother looking because it was Adam.
But the video is amazing. Have you watched the whole video?
I haven't watched any of the video.
It is phenomenal. So basically the way this AI works is it will take multiple frames, like still images of a face, and then create an animated version of that face. And then using lip syncing, it'll create movement of the mouth that can then be, synchronized with audio. And
this is being done from just a single photo.
I know. But when you watch the video and you see how much the results improve when you can give the AI more source images, it is phenomenal. It is scary. Like, you want to talk about fake news, it's going to get to the point where you honestly will not be able to believe anything you see on video. You see where this stuff's going. It's just, it's frightening as well as, mind-blowing in a good way,
But you think he's sort of thinking about TV news presenters.
Yeah.
Yeah. All of a sudden they may not need real people anymore.
Yeah.
You just have Marilyn Monroe doing the news.
Yeah.
Or something. Or, just this AI news readers.
Yeah.
All these other people losing their jobs.
Yep.
Imagine movies all done with 3D AI, freaky.
Well, I remember hearing a story probably 10 years ago now that Peter Gabriel had his whole head scanned from multiple angles so that he wouldn't have to appear in any film clips anymore. And so he wouldn't age. They'd be able to use, you know, him as he was, you know, 10, 15 years ago for all his future film clips. Now, obviously, they didn't have this technology back then, but it would be interesting to see whether they took those scans and employing what AI is now doing, whether they could really, you know, create a video today with a Peter Gabriel of 15 years ago. You know, so it's amazing stuff.
Yeah, so cool.
Yeah.
We live in interesting times, as we keep saying.
Definitely. Definitely. So Adam had a couple of things to share. The first is Rotolite begins legal proceedings over alleged patent infringement and copyright theft. And this is against a company called Vibesta BV and F&V Photographic Industry BV, who basically have a ring light, which is a very similar design to a Rotolite product called the Neo 2. But Rotolite's main complaint seems to be the fact that this other company or pair of companies have used the same images for their marketing, because all of the specular highlights on the lenses and the little locking nut that attaches the light to the hot shoe all appear to be identical.
Oh, that's bad, isn't it?
It is really bad. So
bad.
And towards the end of the article, or sorry, somewhere in the middle of the article, it says essentially they've patented the design of the light. It's similar to what's going on between Profoto and Godox over the V1. So I wasn't even aware that Profoto have launched legal proceedings against Godox over the V1, but apparently there's something similar going on there as well. Anyway.
Yeah, see, if I was Godox, I would just go back and sue Profoto straight back, because Godox had a square body round flash, I don't know, 5 years ago?
Right.
That you could very easily say the Profoto one is a knockoff of the Godox.
But this is the V1. It's not the AD200.
Yeah, I know. I'm talking about the round, square body, round head. That's why I said square body, round head. That looks like a Profoto A1 five years ago.
Right.
And it was from a company. They bought a company that had one. I don't know. These flashes must have been around for, I'm thinking, 20 years?
Yeah, right.
Maybe. Okay. Yeah, square body, round head. I mean, it's nothing new. I mean, just Profoto haven't come out with, they haven't reinvented the wheel. It's same crap, you know? Yeah. So. Funny stuff.
The next one is all about the Sydney Royal Botanic Gardens. There's an outdoor photo festival, and there was a series of four photographs. This is part of the head-on photo festival, where four photographs were attached to a steel fence and someone stole them. And they were from a London-based photographer, Tariq Zaidi.
Yeah, I've seen those photos before.
And, someone just came along and knocked off these four photos. And
that's gold.
Yeah. And the guy from the festival said, yeah, he's not so concerned with the fact that, you know, the prints themselves got stolen. He said his bigger issue is the amount of time it's going to take to get new ones printed and then hung up, and multiple days are going to go by where people won't get to experience these photos.
Oh, dims.
He was a representative from the festival. He wasn't the photographer concerned.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Didn't. So the representative from the festival, a couple of days, for goodness sake. Yeah.
Anyway.
Bit precious, but I think it's kind of funny. Yeah. You put them out there, what do you expect's going to happen to them?
Exactly.
Someone's either going to deface them.
Yeah, they're either going to tag them with spray cans or.
Yeah, I mean, something's going to happen to them. That becomes. And if someone did tag them, at least that becomes a new form of art. You know, it's adding to the art.
Derivative
work. Now it's the missing images. It's a new art form.
Yeah.
Stare at the photo where the pictures were.
And the last story that Adam sent us, and I had something similar, was all about Elon Musk's SpaceX company launching this series of 60 satellites called Starlink satellites. And these are part of Elon's deployment of a global satellite-based internet, you know, ISP service. Now, 60 satellites doesn't sound like a lot. They were all deployed in one go from the Falcon 9 rocket. However, and this is where the issue comes in, the goal is to deploy 12,000 of these micro satellites. And the problem is that some people in the photographic community are saying this is going to cause serious amounts of light pollution in the night sky. And somebody who tweeted, I don't have their name right in front of me, Alex Parker, said, as a quick check, I just modelled 12,000 copies of the typical orbits of Starlink satellites launched this week. At midsummer, midnight in Seattle, I estimate about 500 of them will be both above the horizon and directly illuminated by the sun, which means that for anyone trying to do astrophotography, where you are, you know, quite often leaving the shutter open for minutes at a time, you're going to have these things streaking across your images at some point. When you're trying to take photographs of the night sky. And this will affect both amateur photographers who are just doing it for fun, but it's also going to affect the scientific community who's trying to take photographs of, you know, distant galaxies and having these, you know, light-polluting satellites zipping across your image all the time. So, interesting concept.
I can understand. Okay, it's going to affect amateurs. It's not going to affect professionals.
Why not?
Well, for starters, they're not looking at that. They can ignore that thing. What they're looking for is not that bloody thing going past. And if you can program, if you know the pathway of the satellite, you can program your software to delete it.
Mm.
It's like having dust on your sensor. If it's always in the same spot,
when you
import the photos, you can automatically delete it.
Yeah, you need to see the video of 60 of these things in a train line.
It's some money.
The point is that for the scientific community, they don't want to be employing noise reduction to their images. They want
the noise reduction. We're talking about cloning.
It's the same thing. Like, if you're trying to look at the detail of distant galaxies, you can't just be cloning bits in and go,
let's go back to that sentence you just said. If you want to be looking at the detail of distant galaxies, we're talking about a 2 mil by 1 mil speck in the sky. The chances of that damn satellite going over it at the exact time that they're looking, infinitesimal.
Okay.
I mean, look at me. A galaxy doesn't take half the sky. It's not taking a photograph and half the sky is the galaxy and this thing's zipping across the front of it. That doesn't happen.
You go and tell NASA to stop being so precious.
Yeah, we're talking about a fraction of a degree of space is where this galaxy is that they're looking at. It's not going to have any effect on if you're shooting the entire sky as your scientific shot, yes, it's going to be in there, but they're already in there. There's thousands of damn things up there already. I was up in the country,
They're saying that there's currently about 5,000 satellites orbiting the planet.
Bullshit.
And that 2,000 of those are still active and 3,000 of them are already end of life. But Elon's going to deploy another 12,000, which is, you know, two and a half times what's already up there.
I reckon it's complete rubbish.
Anyway.
I reckon there's a lot more than that.
Okay.
Space already. So there's at least 8,100 satellites in space, at least.
Okay.
And that's also since then. So here's the thing. Last January, I was up in the country of Victoria with the family. We're doing some sitting outside looking at stars and stuff.
Yep.
And satellites are constantly going over. I remember as a kid, if you could see one, it was an amazing thing.
Yeah.
Now, to not see any is an amazing thing.
Right.
So every single person doing astro photos now, it's a fair chance there's going to be satellites going across their photos.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think it's, and so yes, I can understand that it will affect amateurs, but I don't think the scientific community give one rat's patootie.
Okay.
Fair enough. And once again, it's my opinion, and therefore it's right.
Of course.
Of course.
All right, the couple of stories that I found through the week. The Panasonic S1 and S1R have a hidden 10-bit 5K video mode that shoots at 200 megabits per second, which I thought was pretty cool. Obviously, this only affects people that are interested in shooting video on their mirrorless camera or their, you know, SLR, or mirrorless in this sense. But yeah, apparently this has always been there. It was sort of something that very few people had actually taken note of. You are limited to a 30 frame per second shoot rate, but...
It won't look any good on my 8K TV, though.
No, it will not. It will look terrible. Anyway, the next thing is the link that I had regarding the Starlink satellites, which I'll put in the show notes. The next one was the first time lapse that's been shot on the new Fujifilm GFX100. Now, as Glenn said last week, watching this on a, you know, 1920 by 1080 computer monitor is pretty much pointless because...
Let's get an 8K TV out.
Exactly. So it's a nice time lapse called Hermes by Bino Saradzic. And it's, hosted on, yeah, exactly, hosted on Vimeo. So I'll put the link in the show notes for anyone that wants to check that one out. And the
I'm looking at it right now. It's pretty, but it doesn't look like anything other than... All the other stuff you see.
Yeah, well, the thing is it's scaled to the size of your monitor. And, you know, for me, I'm running a pair of 1920 by 1080 monitors. So, you know, that's the highest resolution I'm going to see it at. I could go down to the lounge room and watch it on my 4K TV. And that's probably an improvement. But, yeah. And the last story is that through the week, Sony has officially taken the number two spot in the global interchangeable lens camera market from Nikon.
That seems very appropriate because I've always thought of Sony as number twos.
Thank you, mate. So, yes, anyway, there you go.
But for how long a period of time, though? Is that like in 1 month? Is that for 1 year?
That's for the 2018 fiscal year. Sony's report for the 2018 fiscal year is out. And amongst all the usual mundane facts and figures is one particularly interesting piece of information. It seems that Sony's share of the interchangeable lens camera market has now surpassed that of Nikon to claim the number two spot behind Canon. There you go. Anyway, link will be in the show notes for anyone that wants to read up on the details of that. And that's it.
That's it.
Yes.
We've done it.
This
is a very unusual Friday morning recording. Should be bloody thankful because it's coming right into my nap time. Yeah, I've got two cats here going, when are we going to sleep?
You're keeping us awake.
So it's a good night for me. I'll see you at lunchtime.
All right, mate. Well, I hope your back isn't giving you too much grief through the week.
Thanks, thank you.
Well,
it is what it is.
Exactly. So not too much shooting for you, I would imagine, over the coming weeks.
No, nothing.
All right, mate. Well, you have a good one.
All right, take care.
We do need to add one thing.
Do you?
Yes.
What was that?
Congrats to the Kangaroos for actually winning a game last week.
Oi, don't be like that. yes, it was a pretty emotional game to be there for, I've got to say. Yeah, with the sacking of the coach and the coach's last game. And, yeah, we were there and the coach came out hugging his players and everyone was crying. So it was pretty...
Yeah,
it was
right.
Pretty emotional, yeah.
But it was a good solid win too. Like it wasn't just sneaking in at the last minute like the West Coast Eagles did. It was a fairly solid win.
But we were 30 points up.
Yeah.
And then they got 2 points up. They came back, kicked 6 straight goals.
Oh, yikes.
And then we turned around and came back and kicked the next 5. So it was or 4. So it was a pretty emotional, but typical. It's the great roller coaster of anything to do with sport.
Yeah,
there's that you're on the high. Oh, we're doing really, really well. Then all of a sudden, yeah, they're going bad, and then the opposition supporters start getting loud. Oh, I sense this one guy next to me. I sense a comeback. Oh, there's a comeback coming. Here comes the comeback. Oh, we've come back. Oh, we're ahead. And then so he's all cheering away, and then we start coming back. I'm going, I sense a comeback. Here comes the comeback. Oh, we're ahead. Oh, we've even further ahead. Oh, look, now we're even further ahead. Oh, you've lost.
My normal confrontational self.
Nothing like being graceful in victory. But I don't know if you saw the West Coast game, but we were trailing the whole game and, you know, stole it by 2 goals in the last 90 seconds of the game.
So lucky.
Love it.
Football again tonight. We're going to stagger lurch down there with my back and try and sit in the freezing cold on a hard chair for 3 hours.
Well, that sounds like the perfect remedy for your back.
And then try and attempt to walk back to the car completely frozen solid. It'll be a bit of fun.
Okay. But, well, good luck with that.
They're going to hear from me again. I'm still probably stuck on the seat.
Yes. All right, mate. Well, enjoy that. We'll talk to you next
week. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Shutters Inc. Another audio2.com quality podcast. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.